Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Bishop Thomas Henry, and today you are listening to the Apostolic Voice. Today, I want to deal with a booklet that I have recently written entitled Episcopal Formation, The Making of a Bishop. Just want to highlight this book. Just to stir up some interest in this particular book, to let you know that it is available in paperback for $13.50, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and it's also available in an e-book format. This particular book is, I think, a godsend, a blessing to the body of Christ, because we try to, in this book, detail how the office of the bishop developed. We do it in a brief format. We try to show what it was and what it still is, because many times people argue that what the bishop is in the Bible is not the same that it is today in the church. Maybe not in your church, but there are plenty of churches in this world where the bishop is still the pastor of his local church. And that can be easily proven. Very easily proven. But we're not trying to argue that. But what I really want to do today is just to recap some things that I put in this particular book that I think will be a blessing to each and every one of you, so you'll know what's in this book and that maybe you'll get it for your benefit and for the benefit of those whom you cover and you you train as a bishop. Because I think that we need somebody who is objective enough to dispel the errors as it surrounds the episcopacy. Because we've got too many people still saying there's fivefold ministry and there's three offices. And that's not what the scripture says. That is really not what the scripture says. But people posit this and they talk this and they say this over and over and over again like they are biblically correct. And that's not the truth. And we have perpetuated error. We have perpetuated a false dichotomy in the church. We have perpetuated this. We have made the church sink with people who desire for self-promotion. They desire for high office in the church, and they don't understand what the bishopric really, really is. We got apostles saying, there ain't no, apostles can't be bishops. But then they haven't read the Bible, because the apostles were the first bishops of the church. They are the first pastors of the church. The pastor shepherd. God said in Jeremiah, I give you pastors, shepherds after your own heart. Matter of fact, the word really should have been translated as shepherd instead of pastors. That is beyond the point. As we go on with this today, let's talk about this thing about the bishopric. Let us address that and let us move forward. The book of Ephesians is unique, because if people really read the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and they place the bishop in Ephesians chapter 4 like it should be, as the pastor teacher that is mentioned, few verses before, when Jesus says through Paul that he ascended, and when he ascended, he descended and he gave gift to men. He that descended, ascended, and gave gifts to men. The word man there means both male and female. So then, that verse in and of itself says that the apostles, the prophet, evangelists, and the bishop can be both male and female. The deacon is another thing, because in understanding the bishop and understanding the ministry of a deacon, you got to understand the ministry of the bishop, the ministry of the apostles, the teaching office of the church. That's one reason why in among Catholics and Orthodox and Anglicans, well, really more so because the Anglicans, the teaching office is the magisterium is the Book of Common Prayer. The bishops are still the teachers of the church. And so the teaching bishops are called the teaching office. In Ephesians 4, we see the teaching offices of the church. In Romans chapter 12, we see the supportive ministries or offices of the church. The Bible specifically says, I know you probably hear me say this over and over again, but it's worth reiterating that Acts 20 and 28 says that the Holy Spirit made you overseers. The word overseers is episcopos, the same word episcopos that is found in 1 Timothy 3 and 2. Interesting, isn't it? That people want to posit and they want to say, they want to opine and say that the bishop is an elected position. The apostles are not, but they overlook Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 shows us, if you really read it, take your blinders off and read it. You find apostles and their brethren up there in the upper room first nominating two individuals. That's an election process. And then after the two individuals, Matthias, and I can't remember the other guy's name offhand, then they cast lots to see whom the Holy Spirit had chosen to take Judas' place as an apostle. Nowhere do you see Barnabas being called a gift of the apostles. You see Barnabas being called an apostle in Acts 14 and 14, just like Paul is called one. And so when you understand all of this, you're able to dispel the errors around the episcopacy and understand what the bishop actually is. That's one reason why when you understand the bishop, you understand that the elders are extensions of the bishop's ministry. You understand that the deacons are extensions of the bishop's ministry. They are not inferior ministry. They are complementary ministry. You follow me here today. Not inferior, but complementary. Because if they were inferior, then you could do without them. But the way the Bible is structured, you cannot do without them. You need them. You need them. You hear what I'm saying? You need them. So the problem with the church today is that we do not understand, we do not correctly exegete the text of Scripture as it relates to ministry in the Bible. We do not correctly exegete the text. We do not correctly, hermeneutically correctly exegete the text to understand what the bishop is. We make the bishop some administrative office, and the bishop is more than an administrative office. The bishop, my friend, is what the Bible calls the pastor teacher. That's why among the Roman Catholics and the Orthodox and even the Anglicans, they said the bishop is the fullness of the priesthood. He's the fullness of ministry. As it relates to the local church, the bishop is the fullness because the bishop is the pastor. And the presbyters or priests shares for your role in their parish, church, or congregation. Because the bishop, according to Anglicans, is the senior pastor. He is the pastor. And the rectors, which we call pastors of our local our churches, are just pastors underneath their senior pastor, who is the bishop. See, what we have taken the church, and we have not understood. A lot of us, because what we have been taught is so ingrained in us, we have forced what we have been taught with what the Bible posits as the bishop's ministry. And we have forced the Bible to say something that the Bible really does not say. The Bible says that the bishop is one of the teaching ministries of the church. He is specifically assigned to the local church. That would mean that the Baptists got it right when they limited the bishop to the local church. The Catholics, and watch this, because I'm not contradicting myself when I say that, the Catholics got it right too, because they, in their canon law, says that the bishop is the proper pastor of the local church, and they called the local church the diocese. They said that the parish church is not the local church, but a division of the local church. which would be what the Bible says, because the Bible talks about the local church being the church in Corinth, not the local congregations in Corinth being the church in and of themselves, but it calls the church in a city the church. And that church is divided into multiple congregations. So the bishops oversee the local church. Now, this is where another issue comes in at, because we got apostles trying to be bishops, which nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with that, because some apostles are like Timothy and Titus, where both apostles were also bishops of local churches. But not every apostle has that assignment. Some apostles are called, majority of the apostles, if I may posit that and tell you, are called to be outside of the sphere of the local church ministry. They're outside. Some apostles, like Aquila and Priscilla, teach and train other leaders. Like they call and they train Apollos, who is also called an apostle. Each one of the 12 had specific ministries. Lord, have mercy. And so the issue today is that most of us do not understand correctly the ministry of the bishop, and many of our bishop colleges are not teaching it right. They're teaching opinion and conjecture, but not teaching scripture. Scripture says that the bishop is the pastor teacher. Scripture says, according to 1 Timothy 5:17, that there is a teaching elder in the church called the bishop. That we need the Presbyterians are right, that there are two elders in the church. There's a teaching elder, and there's a ruling elder. Even I have an article on the diaconate written by the Anglican Church of Canada who detailed the history and development of the office of the deacon, and they mentioned between 150 and 250 that the bishops traded places with the presbyters, and the bishops began to rule. They didn't relinquish their role of presiding, but they began to rule as well as preside, and took the ruling function from the presbyters and just made them presiders and over the Eucharist. That's why formerly in the old days, you hardly ever heard of a priest being called pastor of a church. They usually would call a parish priest, vicar or a rector or what have you, a curate, or some of these other terms. You hardly ever caught the term parish priest, not pastor, because the bishop was the pastor. And the parish priest only pastored the local church in the stead of the bishop. So you ask me, what do a bishop do? Paul answered that in Ephesians 4:11. He says, some are called to be apostles. They are sent on a mission. They're emissary, ambassadors of the kingdom, specific ambassadors of the kingdom, representing the kingdom of God. There are some who are prophets, who prophesy, and are the oracles of God. Some who are evangelion, they are evangelists, they are heralds of the gospel, they announce the gospel. Then there are some who are specifically signed to the local church. This is the bishop. This is the bishop, because why? He poimen, kai, didaskalos, two words connected by the word kai mean that these two words are alike. They are the same person, same individual. And these two offices represent the same ministry. Poimen, pastor, shepherd, kai, and hyphen death, didaskalos, teacher. This same teacher that is found in 1 Corinthians 12:28, when he says, God set in the church first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly, he sent bishops in the church. People take the word governments down the line, and they confuse that with bishops. And the governments, there's not bishops. Those are the presbyters who eventually became called priests. Are you hearing me today on this broadcast? So the bishop leads his church. He pastors, he shepherds his church. The bishop governs his local church. He does all of this. The bishop is in charge of his local church. His church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me throw some other things at you before we really wrap this particular blog talk up today on the bishopric and talk about how the deacons connect to it as well. The church in Rome, according to Justin Martyr, around 150 AD, 55 years after the last book of the Bible was written, called their bishop the president. And the bishop presided as president over the Eucharist, yet of his local church. But watch this. It says St. Ignatius in the year 70, which is 80 years before Justin Martyr says, there's no Eucharist without the bishop. There's no church without the bishop. What is he saying? There's no local church. He's not talking about general church. He's talking about local church. There's no local church without the bishop, because the bishop pastors the local church. The bishop is administrator, the president of the Eucharistic assembly. No elder, no priest can operate and perform the Eucharist without the permission of the one who is the dispenser of that Eucharistic grace, and that is the bishop. The bishop. The bishop gives the elders, the priests, the permission to celebrate the Eucharist, because the bishop is the pastor, not the elders, not the presbyters, not the priests. That's what the Bible says. Woo, whole lot of stuff here. Now, I know this flies in the face of a lot of people, because a lot of people say, well, God gave me this, God did this, God did that, yada, 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 yada. Well, if you plan on being under a bishop, the bishop pastors, he shepherds the people. He's not just overseer. The elders and the deacons' ministries are connected to the bishop. The bishop, that's one reason why I've told so many people, what makes you a bishop is not that you consecrate other bishops. What makes you a bishop is when you got presbyters and deacons under your ministry, showing that you are trying to build a church. That's why I get upset when I see bishops and apostles say that we're not supposed to build a church, we're supposed to build a kingdom. And they forget, if you are the pastor or bishop of a church, you build a church. The church and the kingdom should be one and the same. That does not mean now that there are not times in Scripture where there are different that the word kingdom does not, because there are five different manifestations of the kingdom. And there are several times in Scripture where kingdom and the church and kingdom, the word kingdom does not necessarily mean church, but majority of the time it does. You can't build. Let me see. God said, Jesus said, I will build a church. Then he says this, I give to you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom. So literally Jesus made church and kingdom synonymous. I'm going to build a church. But people say, we ain't got no building churches. Jesus said, I'm going to build a church. Then he says to Peter, I give to you the keys of the kingdom. The keys on building, I got happy just then. Felt material. The keys to building this church. If you go to the book of Acts chapter 1, they ask Jesus, is today the day, the time? When is the time you are going, good God from Zion. I almost felt a shift in my spirit just then. When are you going to establish the kingdom? Jesus said, it's not given to you to know the times and the season that the Father has put in his own hand. But he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He will make you witnesses of that kingdom. Because the kingdom before, yeah, glory, hallelujah, the kingdom will manifest through you, through the church in this world. So if you were building the church, you're building the kingdom of God on earth. Because the church and the kingdom has the same members. The church and the kingdom has the same leader. The church and the kingdom has the same rules. That's why among your ancient brethren, they being synonymous with the kingdom. That's why they speak of Christendom, of building the kingdom on earth. So we got people who talk about they building kingdom, but they ain't building church. You building something that God ain't built, because in Scripture, God never speaks of the kingdom and the church as being separate unless it's one of those few times when the kingdom is specifically addressing something that is not the church. I have to talk about that another time, another broadcast to really explain that to you. Now, one more thing. Why is a deacon connected to the office of bishop and not to the elders, the presbytery? Simply put, because the bishop is, the deacons are connected to the teaching office. And the presbytery at first, the presbytery, the ruling presbytery, because see, the presbytery, you have to look in book of Timothy to understand this. There are two types of elders. You got the teaching elder, which is the bishop, and the ruling elder, which is the presbytery, who is not the bishop. The deacon is not connected to the ruling elder. The deacon is connected to the teaching elder, which is the bishop, because the bishop is responsible for pastoring the church. And the deacon assists the bishop in pastoring the church. Did y'all catch that? It is the deacon that assists the bishop in pastoring the people of God. The bishop is committed, like the apostles, to preaching, praying, and ministering the word. The deacon is committed to doing congregational care, visitation, ministry to the poor, ministry to the less fortunate, ministry to the widows, taking care of the congregation so that the bishop can study, teach, preach. He can be the senior elder in the church, which begs something that I could throw out there, but I don't want to mess any of your minds up, because the Catholics said that the deacon is part of the priesthood, part of the priesthood, the presbytery. I don't want to mess your mind up, because I got some people that argue with me about this, but, you know, I got a saying I like to say that I borrowed from another bishop. Before I take it back, I add more to it. The deacons, if they are an extension of the bishop ministry, then they are part of the presbytery as well. That's why in my church, on my, especially on my elders board, I had diaconal elders, I had ruling elders, and I had teaching elders. Myself was the senior elder of the church as bishop, and then I had pastor, teaching elder, which was the pastors under me, and then I had ruling elders who were ordained, and I had diaconal elders who were ordained as deacons. But they all served on my elders, board of elders of my local church. So, deacons are not attached to the ruling office of the ruling elder, which eventually became the ordained elder or ordained priest. They are attached to the teaching elder, and the teaching elder is the office of the bishop. Deacons are not supposed to rule. Deacons are not supposed to rule. I know some of y'all think that. Some of y'all come from church where deacons are supposed to lead the devotional service, deacons are supposed to collect the offering, and manage the business of the church, but that's not what the Bible told them. And most of you are exegeting the text when you go to the church where it says serve tables. Serve tables don't mean collect the money. Even though the deacons were there to assist the bishops and the apostles in receiving the offering of the people, certainly they was. But the point is that the deacon's job was to be pastoral care ministers. Are you hearing me? That's why the deacon is attached to the office of bishop and not to the presbytery, because the deacons are pastoral care ministers. I encourage you today, get my book. Get it in paperback so you can have it in your house, in your library. Get it on Kindle, ebook, Episcopal Formation, The Making of a Bishop. I pray that it will transform your thinking about the office of the bishop. May it transform the way you do church and the way you do ministry. Because a lot of this stuff that we have going in church, this competition we have in church, where we are pastors always trying to be greater, chief of greater office instead of just being committed to just being pastors. We got deacons that are not faithful in being deacons. We got ruling elders that not want to be faithful being ruling elders. So, are y'all hearing me? Everybody is reaching for greatness, that are finding the greatness that is in the office that they already have. We all can't be apostles. We all can't be prophets. We all can't be evangelists. We all can't be bishops. We all cannot be support ministries. We all have our own function in the body. And so we need to learn what that function is, because every time somebody is called to ministry does not mean they're called to a teaching ministry. Preach, Henry, I think I will. All because somebody is called to ministry, a vocation, a calling. The bishop is a calling. The apostle is a calling. Yes, you can reach for the apostle because Paul said you can reach for it. Yes, you can reach for it and desire the prophet because Paul said it. And before I take it back, I add more to it. Good God from Zion. People are not satisfied. They're reaching for higher heights because they think what they're in right now is an inferior ministry. Everybody want to be in charge. Nobody want to serve. And we have this false dichotomy in the body of Christ. Well, we don't understand what ministry really is. We don't understand what ministry is all about. But like my granddaddy used to sing an old Baptist hymn, and I'm going to wrap this broadcast up a few minutes early. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save, I want it fitted for the sky to serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my power engage, because I want to do my master will. I am Bishop Thomas Henry. I'm the Archbishop and Metropolitan of the Apostolic Communion of Churches. I'm the Archbishop Primus of the Congress of Apostles and Bishops. And for the past almost 30 minutes, you have been listening to The Apostolic Voice. Go to Amazon today. Get my book called Episcopal Formation. I mistyped the name there. Episcopal Formation. On Amazon, it's called Episcopal Formation, The Making of a Bishop. I have a book on liturgy as well called The Liturgy, The Work of the People. Not a very long book, but it's a very insightful book. Go get those books and add them to your library and let them be a blessing to you. God bless you, and you have a great and wonderful day in the Lord Jesus Christ.